This is Andy Coffin, president of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this special premium edition of the People and Projects podcast. You know, D. Hock is one of my management heroes. D. founded Visa years ago, and he had a lot of insights on how to be an effective leader. And if you've sat through any of our leadership workshops, you might be familiar with one of my favorite D. Hock quotes. D. says, "If you look to lead, invest at least 40% of your time managing yourself." And what he means by that is our ethics, character, principles, purpose, motivation, and conduct. He goes on, "Invest at least 30% managing those with authority over you and 15% managing your peers." Now, if you do the math, there's not a whole lot left. He says, "Use the remainder to induce those you work for," in quotes, "to understand and practice this theory." And he says he uses the terms "work for" advisedly, for if you don't understand that you should be working for your mislabeled subordinates, you haven't understood anything. He wraps up the quote by saying, "Lead yourself, lead your superiors, lead your peers, and free your people to do the same. All else is trivia." There's a lot to chew on in that quote, isn't there? I mean, too often we think managing is about managing down our so-called subordinates. D puts much more focus on managing ourselves and those with authority over us. Now, you and I could argue about whether his percentages are precise, but that's really not the point, is it? I take the point as managing ourselves and those in authority over us, it's a big deal. We need to be intentional about it, and that's why I spent time talking with John about this subject. In this premium episode, I want to take some time to stress points from the interview with John Baldoni to help you and I to put the learning into action. First, do you recall John's distinction between managing up and leading up? To me, it's mostly semantics, and I'm going to use the term synonymously. That said, there's a good point to be made here. Some people interpret managing up as sucking up. It's as if we're kissing butt just to look good to the boss, often in a deceptive or at least a selfish way, perhaps even at the cost of others not looking as good as we are. You know, we don't manage or lead up just to look good. In fact, sometimes when I do this, I'm managing up precisely because I don't want us all to look bad. I'm concerned that the decision-making process needs additional perspectives or that it'd be to our mutual benefit if the boss was influenced in a certain way. Where it gets sleazy is when it's all about me. And isn't that just a good marker in general anyway? Whether it's regarding conflict or negotiation or influence or giving and receiving constructive feedback or goal setting or just about any area of life, when it becomes all about me, it's usually a problem. So as John mentioned, leading up is ultimately about being committed to helping the organization grow and achieve, not just me. Second, a primary skill to develop is learning to read your boss. This is so critical. Sometime back, I interviewed a guy named Dave Pochedley about his book on stakeholder relationships. And Dave said, we need to learn the buying habits of our boss. I really like that term. How does he or she make decisions? Do they like a lot of detail or not? Do they want a PowerPoint deck or would that make them suspicious? They just want it drawn up on the fly on the whiteboard. Are they outgoing and gregarious or are they more quiet and analytical? Pictures or numbers? Face-to-face or more email? All of these and many more considerations to take to heart when we're trying to influence up. Becoming a student of our boss is part of DHOC's 30% of our time, by the way. Pay attention and learn how to adjust your style accordingly. Anticipate what they want to see and how they'll likely push back. Learn their buying habits. Don't just show up and throw up. It'll make your job of selling ideas and influencing up much easier. Third, I'll remind you about John's three main requirements for you to be successful. Remember that? Competence, credibility, and confidence. Though I'm always surprised when someone occasionally wants to argue this point. Competence is not fixed. It can be developed. You know, a hunger to learn is one of the top traits I look for in aspiring leaders. Education experience combined with a teachable spirit can significantly develop our competence, even helping us become a true expert given enough time. Applying the competence over time can increase our credibility. And as I mentioned in the interview, credibility is currency. We have to execute. We can't just talk a good game. Consistently delivering with, as John said it, shining colors helps us develop credibility that can be banked on. And then there's confidence. Nearly every year I spend time with one or more coaching clients whose issue isn't competence and it's really not credibility. Rather, they have a confidence problem. They sell themselves too short. Competence, credibility, and confidence are three C's that are worth writing down and being intentional about developing. Finally, I want to call your attention to John's leadership advice to be seen, be heard, and be there. I mean, how visible are you to your boss? I was with a leader last week who was challenged because her boss was in a whole different state. It's difficult for her to build credibility in his eyes because of the distance. And yet, it's important for leaders to be seen, to be visible, not only to our boss, actually, but to our team and others that we serve. Don't be chained to your desk. Find ways to get FaceTime with your stakeholders. If your boss or team or key stakeholders are in a different location than you, you have to make sure you're seen. Be intentional about getting time with them. It's critical. As is being heard. Leaders don't necessarily have to be heard in the same way that a drill sergeant communicates, and yet we have to be vocal. Through a variety of communication channels and mediums, we need to take the initiative to have a voice. Now, if speaking up is more difficult for you, remember, this doesn't mean it's only for extroverts. Yet you nonetheless need to have your voice heard, even if it's through emails or other mediums. Finally, John says we need to be there. He mentioned it's a metaphor for taking initiative, for doing everything we can to get things done. You know, leading by example is not just the name of one of John's books. It's a key part of being there. In many ways, the lessons about leading up have applicability for, you know, leading out and down. It's not just about me. It's about us. It's not about sitting back and waiting. It's about taking the initiative. It's not about having others adjust to me. It's about me adjusting to others. What's a challenge you're having in managing or leading up? Send me an email at andy@i-leadonline.com. I love hearing from premium subscribers, and I'd love to give you my take on what you're going through. You know, just a quick reminder, I'd love to have you join the discussion on our Facebook page. Check out the show notes for a link to the page. I invite you to like it and join the discussion. Well, thank you for being a premium subscriber to the People and Projects podcast. Please let me know what questions you have and if there's anything I can do to help you lead and deliver. And thank you for joining me for this premium episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week.